Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to take a look today, or continue to look at, Chapter 2 of Ephesians. The church gives us this beautiful chapter in at Mass, both yesterday and today. It's part of Ephesians' grand vision of the amazing, the mystery of God's plan and the extraordinary reality of what God has accomplished for us in Christ and who we are now in Jesus. And so, if you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. My reflections on the beginning of this chapter are right there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them and put them on whatever device you have. That'll help you listen to it whenever you'd like to. I also want to mention, friends, before I forget, the new book that we're offering with the program, Ralph Martin's book, What Happens When I Die. You'll hear more about it at the end of the program. So, in this second chapter, Paul begins by laying out the biblical worldview. I won't go through it all again today, but just in summary, Paul is saying to us, we were all dead through our trespasses and sins, and God has made us alive in Christ. So Christianity is about being raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. It's passing from death to life. That's the essence of it. It's not just a higher morality. It's not just a philosophical system. It's not just the church is not just offering social justice to the world, which is part of what she does, our service and the like, but the essence of what the church is in her soul, in her core, and what's happened to us, and what she brings to the world is new life. Every single human being, according to St. Paul, every single human being is in this condition of needing to be brought from death to life, from spiritual death to spiritual life. And we can't make that life happen in us any more than we can, than a corpse can raise itself up, bring itself from death to life. We can't bring ourselves from spiritual death to spiritual life. It's something God has to do. And so this is the default position we find ourselves in. And the beautiful thing, which begins in verse 4, which is the turn of this section of chapter 2, it says, even though that is our condition, and we were like enemies of God, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He makes this point. He'll make it again. This gift of life is just that. It's a gift. It's a free gift. It's a gift that cost Jesus everything, but it's God's mercy toward us. It's not something we earn. It's not something we accomplish. It's not something we can produce. It comes from God. We need the divine life to come to spiritual life. We need to share in God's life. And that's not something anybody can produce by their works, by their intelligence, by whatever resources we can have. That comes as God's gift. He raised us up with him. That is, God has raised us up with Christ, who's now at the right hand of the Father. He made us sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we're obviously sitting, I'm sitting here in a chair in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but what's happened is spiritually, as we've been brought to spiritual life, what it means to be brought to spiritual life is to be united to Jesus, who is life itself. Jesus became one of us and took on human flesh so we could become like him. We could be united to him. We could share in what belongs to him. And so we're united to him, and Paul will break this open more in the next part of this chapter where he makes it clear that we are one in Christ. We're united. He's the head of a new body, and that new body already exists spiritually. We're the body. He's the head. So we're one, and this is what God wants. We were separated by sin, separated from God. Now he unites us, and we'll see later in this chapter, he unites Jew and Gentile together so that the Gentile world, the non-Jewish world, can share in the promises that God gave to the people of Israel, that we become one, that God makes peace between God and man, but also between enemies, the Jews and the Gentiles are now one and inherit the same messianic kingdom. He said that you're made to sit in heavenly places in Christ so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. The Father has poured out his heart, his gifts, and it came to us in and through the person of Jesus Christ. And the Father, I often feel this in my heart when I'm praying, that the Father's greatest passion is that forever his entire creation would see the beauty and majesty and the victory of his Son, Jesus Christ. All things were made for him. All things were made through him. And everyone is going to see that Jesus is Lord of all. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Many tongues will confess gladly that he's Lord. But even those who oppose him, Satan himself and the demons and human beings who say no to God, everyone will bend the knee and acknowledge that there's one Lord, there's one King, there's one authority in all of God's creation that rules it in the will of his Father, and that's Jesus. And through Jesus, the kindness, the grace, the mercy, the love, and the justice of the Father has come to us. He goes on. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. This is something that Catholics sometimes can get confused about, to say that this gift of salvation, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We're not saved by our works. We cannot be saved apart from our works. This is part of the discussion later in James and other places in the Bible talk about the reality of faith and works. The Catholic Church says this initial being born again by water and the Spirit and baptism, by being brought from spiritual death to spiritual life, is God's free gift that comes to us because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that we are able to receive because of Jesus. That's it. That's the only way you get the new life. But the question then is, what do we do with that new life? And that will in part determine whether or not we live with God forever. I mean, some Christians have this idea that once you're saved, you're always saved. Once this new life hits you, no matter what you do, it can never be taken away. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Catholic Church teaches. It's possible for someone to lose their salvation because they decide at some point to say no to God's grace and God's will and to turn away from it. One way to see it, as Ephesians in the New Testament talks about, is that we have been saved in baptism through initial repentance and being brought from death to life. We are being saved. God's grace is continuing to be worked out in us, as Paul would say, that we are his workmanship and we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. These works are not the source of our new life, but these works manifest our obedience to God, our love of God, and the outworking of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. They're kind of an authenticating sign, really, of what a Christian looks like, someone who has come to new life. If you've come to new life, you're going to live a different way of life. You've got a new power and a new capacity now to live the first and the great commandment, to love God with all your heart, but to love your neighbor as well, and to fulfill the Great Commission. What does that mean in a nutshell? What are we called to do? What does this new life in Christ lead us to do? To love God, to love neighbor, and to make disciples. This is what God now has for us. This is what Jesus did. And we're little Christ walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and the Jesus life is in us to be able to live the life that he himself lived. So again, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. God does not like it when human beings boast. Paul makes this point in 1 Corinthians as well. He said, God chooses what is weak in this world to shame the strong. He said, God chooses what is despised and rejected in this world to bring the kingdom and to manifest his power through. He said, so that the church, walking in Jesus' footsteps and manifesting the humility, really the humility of God even, the humility that's characteristic of a Christian life, living in radical obedience and surrender to Jesus as the central reality of our life now, the optic through which we see everything, and the motive power through which we live fully in him. It's the new life. To me, life means Christ, Paul said, right? The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by this reality that God has now given to me, that he's shown me, that he's lived through me. So, again, Paul will go on and he'll underline in 1 Corinthians, he ends it by saying, God does this and brings to nothing those who think there's something in this world so that no man should boast. This is why it's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, or a powerful man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because if we're self-sufficient and we look at ourselves and say, I'm kind of a self-created person here. I've made it myself. I don't need somebody else. I'm good enough. I've accomplished enough. I deserve what's coming next because I'm a good person. I'm an accomplished person. It's very difficult for people in that kind of a situation to see what Paul said at the beginning of this chapter, that all of us, he said, among these, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh and following the desires of body and mind. And so we are by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Doesn't matter where you went to school, how much money you have, what neighborhood you live in, you know, how high your IQ is. Doesn't matter. Ultimately, you need the new life. You need the Christ life in you, or you're going to die eternally separated from God. Paul then in verses 11 through 22 or so, he then takes up the idea of how God has brought the Gentiles now. Read this first passage. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, that is, the Jewish people, men were circumcised, Gentiles were not. He said, which is made in the flesh by hands, that is circumcision. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, the people of Israel had a relationship with God, but they too, they were being led in this relationship with God, in the commandments, in the patriarchs, in the prophets, in the rest, in their way of life to receive the Messiah. But Israel also needed its Messiah, and Israel needed the saving grace of its Messiah, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Jewish people needed it as well. But Paul is saying that for Gentiles, they had no access to any of this. They were completely without hope in this world, Paul is saying. But then he goes on, he said, but now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. Far off from the promises of God, you're now brought into the promises of God. Far off from the Holy of Holies, the holy place you can't enter, the sanctuary now which is in heaven with God, without this, without Christ's blood. You share now in the messianic saving work of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace. And so he goes on to say, he's broken the hostility between Jew and Gentile. Those who have received the Messiah, both Gentile and Jew, now become one. He goes on later in verse 18, it says, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Those who are baptized into Christ, Jew or Gentile, receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that Spirit is the Holy Spirit who makes us one. And it's the Holy Spirit who unites us to the Father. And it's the Holy Spirit who cries out in us now from the core of our being, Abba, Father. We are now children of one Father, united in him in one family, the family of God. That's his gift to you, friends. Walk in it and receive it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.